Welcome to the Torah Timecha Nach Yomi series with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Esther Wien, and we are in the eighth perek of Megillat Esther. So the tables have turned. Haman is gone. The Esther forces, the forces of recognizing, despite the Hester, that there's a bigger reality in play, have overcome and obliterated the blind, denial, self-destructive survival mode mentality. But the story's not over. The damage that Haman has done, the whole entire kingdom is about to annihilate the Jews on the 13th of Adar. It's one thing to identify and destroy that mentality, the attitude, that which represents or is the sort of symbol of the entire problem. But the problem has ramifications. And there Esther says now, please, Esther begs to the king, I know you hung Haman on and all of that, but we have to be able to stand up and defend ourselves. We have to eradicate this problem because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And everywhere we turn, it's going to come back and attack us. There's so many people that are Haman's cronies. There's so many people buying into this. We have to be able to combat them. And of course, in the story of Purim, the king says, sure. But now, let's zoom in. The 13th of Adar. And in Perek 8, we are told that the Jewish people have the right to stand up for themselves and go on the offensive. But Yom Echad, on that one day, B'chol medinot ha-melech Achashverosh, in all of the provinces of Achashverosh, the 13th day of the 12th month, 13th of Adar. Remember when Haman picked lotteries and he came down to Adar and then it came down to the 13th day? Remember we talked about the boomerang? Remember we talked about Nekama, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes all our efforts, all survival mode, desperate attempts to replace God with ourselves, and he turns them back on us, and they boomerang on us, and that is Rachmanus, that is Rachamim, that is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us break out, because we say, this isn't working, something's not working, this is getting worse and worse for me, right? We talked about that. And we talked about all the ways that every single solitary little effort Haman made boomeranged back on him. But what about the 13th of Adar? That was also an effort. He was so excited. This was going to be the perfect day to destroy the Jews. And if you look into all the Midrashim, it explains how he said no. You know, he discredited, dismissed other opportunities because there were different fortuitous times for the Jewish people. But now, exactly on this day, the 13th of Adar, the tables turn. V'naha pochu. And now the Jewish people are standing up for themselves and attacking their enemies. So the entire thing turns around. Now let's zoom out a little bit. Wait a minute, it's much more of a turnaround than just the 13th of Adar. So if you were living then, okay, and before Esther went into the king, before this proclamation went out from Mordechai, everybody fast for 3 days, everybody do tshuva, we're under threat of annihilation. And everybody did, they actually did. Before that happened, or even until they saw Haman hanging on a tree, okay, what do you think they would have answered the following question? If you were in Shushan or in Persia, how would you have answered the question, right? Hey, what happened all 9 years ago with that whole party? Like, what? Tell me the whole sort of trajectory. You would have said, oh my gosh. That party was such a disaster. You see, there was this party. And Vashti got the king angry. So he had this advisor who said, get rid of her. So he did. I don't care. They got a new queen, some random lady. But the king was so happy with this advisor, he elevated him, Haman. And then Haman was this big anti-Semite. He hated Mordechai. Mordechai provoked him. You know, it was probably Mordechai's fault, this whole thing. And so the king really hated Haman really hated Mordechai, and he hated the Jews, and he was so close to the king, and he had the king, you know, wrapped around his finger, and he came up with this final solution to annihilate all the Jews. And now we're just praying and begging and like hoping that something's going to change. But like, I mean, that party was just like the beginning of our doom, right? That would have been a legitimate sort of narrative on that party. But when Esther went into the king's chamber, nobody knew about the plan. This was secret. Nobody knew anything. And suddenly they see Haman hanging on a tree. And they realize the whole story comes out that Esther was a Jew. Suddenly you ask somebody, wait, go back. Tell me about that party again. And they say, oh my goodness, that party was a miracle. It was our salvation. You have to hear what happened. So we went to this party. There was this terrible queen, whatever. Ahasuerus got angry at his wife, Vashti. So this Haman guy decided to have this great idea, get rid of Vashti. And you know what he did? He literally opened the door to put Esther on the throne. We didn't even know she was Jewish. There's this girl sitting there. She's the queen. And then with the queen already installed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the palace, so to speak, of the king, okay? Haman concocts this whole big idea. He's going to destroy all the Jews. And Ahasuerus and him make a deal. And Haman offers money. And Ahasuerus doesn't even take the money. And then they're planning everything. And then you know what happened? Esther was in there. And she sabotaged the whole plan. And that's Haman hanging on the tree. And we're all safe. So what just happened? What was the real story? There were facts. But the way the facts could have unfolded, the interpretation of the facts radically changed. Everything turned around. V'nahapochu. The story's different. That was like, thank God for that party. Thank God that Vashti got him angry. When before we said, oh my God, if Vashti had not gotten him angry, this whole thing wouldn't have happened, right? So this is v'nahapochu. Now, what does this mean? Let's analyze it. How we view things makes a big difference. But I'm not talking about how we view the party. I'm talking about how we view ourselves vis-a-vis our identity. You see, when Mordechai said, everybody, listen, we are in trouble. And it's really clear and obvious danger. Like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making this easy for us, okay? We all need to recommit to being adults, to representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this galus, in our long galus journey, which everybody knew was beginning. Everybody knew it was built into all the nevuahs that there was going to be a long galus. Everybody knew it. So Mordechai said, listen, we're here in galus. You're not in Eretz Yisrael anymore. Remember those chinuch years in Nisim, nevuah, Beis HaMikdash, mommy and daddy, right? The house, you lived in your Eretz Yisrael. It's over. But you can't assimilate, because the reason everyone went to the party is they just said, what's the difference? God doesn't love us anymore, right? God isn't speaking to us anymore. We don't have this great, divine intervention anymore. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have our avoda. We don't have our nisim. Like, obviously, God is angry at us. So you know what? What's the difference? We'll just assimilate. And Mordechai said, no. Total change of perspective. Hashem's not angry. You're becoming adults. It's time for you to recruit all of those chinuch lessons and messages and the truths that were invested in you by the Nevi'im, by Moshe Rabbeinu, and you've got to take it and be that person in the Golus. You got to stand up for who you really are. You have to know who you are. It's time to reconnect to God. It's time to do tshuva. It's time to reaccept the Torah. It's time to remember that this is not abandonment. This is maturity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing you that you need to recognize for all of history, this was the launch, the portal through to the Golus, that you have to take the ideas and generate them grassroots from within yourselves, from the way you live, stand up for who you are. This is who you are. You've got to embrace it. It's a whole new relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not children anymore. And that's for the perspective that changed. And Am Yisrael, as we're going to learn next parak, Kimu v'kiblu, they re-accepted the Torah. But for now, their change of attitude, their change of perspective about themselves, they said, it's not that we're being abandoned. The Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to mature and represent him. So that changed their perspective. And they started to do tshuva. and they started to break out of their assimilation and survival mode mentality. And then everything changed. That empowered Esther. And she was able to successfully negotiate that standoff with Haman, where it became super obvious, MS or Sheker, Tov or Ra, there's nothing in between. Either there's a bigger picture or there's not. And Haman went down. And when Haman was hanging on that tree, everybody looked at each other and said, "Hey, that was a good party. That was the party where everything changed. That was the party where Esther was put into power." You know what I mean? She was the refuah before the makkah. We didn't realize we were losing ourselves, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already preparing the whole story. There were so many threads that were tying together in their minds. Their minds were probably exploding from all the different strands that were coming together. And they had a totally new perspective now. We know today in physics, there is awareness, there's already knowledge. Very, very strange phenomenon. And if you want to look this up and Google it, look up the two-slit experiment. Essentially, and I'm not a great physicist, but, you know, physics for dummies, that a particle of light will either, when it goes, will change its behavior, its spin, or its how it operates, either as a particle or as a wave, okay, and go through different slits or go through a slit in a screen, and it will, so to speak, choose how it will operate, either as a single particle or as a wave, based on whether it's being observed on the other side of the screen with the slits. In other words, before it even goes through the slits in the screen, if there's an observer on the other side, okay, that it's going to meet, when it goes through that slit, it already changes its behavior before it goes through the slits. This is an experiment that has launched an endless amount of research, which means that observation, some sort of power, force, something is going on that even when an atom or an electron rather is observed, it knows it and it makes some sort of choice. Now, I'm not a physicist. This is in very, you know, sort of simplistic terms, but it has led to an entire area of research, particularly a John Wheeler, who has been writing about the notion that the entire universe is being observed, isn't it? By God. And we have Bechira, right? We make choices. We know we're being observed. There's an intuitive knowledge that we're being observed. And if being observed means that we get to question and choose, then we are actually participating in how things unfold here. The fact that we're being observed makes us participants in how things are going to ultimately play out. Let's bring this back to the Purim story. That how Am Yisrael views themselves changed the whole narrative on the story. Changed how the facts of that party unfolded. The facts could have gone a very different way. They could have led to a very different end. But Am Yisrael observing themselves, knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was observing them, changed everything, turned it all around, v'napochu, and suddenly the very same facts of what happened at the party behaved a different way. They played out a very different way. So we are very much part of the unfolding drama of history, and we are playing a role, and we get to play a role. We get to be, as we said, participants with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the unfolding, if we want to be in creator mode, right? And like Mordechai said to Esther, he said, if you don't play a role here, don't worry. Somebody else will. It's about you being given a chance to be the one to play the role. Okay, thank you all for listening. Hold on, this happens. My computer shuts down. Oh, I can't get in. Le'iloi Nishmas. I'm sorry, I don't want to say the names wrong, but this entire this entire series is Le'iloi Nishmas. The names that I said in the last parakim, I'm sorry, I can't get into my computer for some reason at this moment. One more parak to go.